Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. We thank you, as always, for listening to our program and for listening to American Family Radio throughout the day. Well, we're going to get right to our interview with Governor Phil Bryan of the state of Mississippi. You may remember the state legislature a few months back signed a law, or enacted a law, signed by the governor, Phil Bryan, protecting religious freedom in the state of Mississippi. It was called HB 1523. And the governor is joining us from Jackson. He has an important meeting coming up in a few minutes, but he's given us some time here to – he's not on yet? Okay, he hasn't called in yet. Well, that's a pretty big lead up to nothing. Man, I was on a roll there.
You were.
We're trying to get the governor on. He's supposed to be on momentarily. But anyway – the religious freedom law in the state of Mississippi, which was attacked by the liberals across the country.
Well, absolutely. And Governor Phil Bryan has just been a beast. I mean, he has been a man of principle, a man of character. He understands the importance of religious liberty in this country. The state of Mississippi passed a law which, when it was dumped, blocked by U.S. District Judge Carlton Reeves, when it was to take effect July 1st, yeah. The Mississippi Democratic Attorney General Jim Hood declined to appeal it. So the governor now has taken this upon his shoulders and is going to see that this law is defended in federal court on appeal.
Governor Bryant, you with us?
I am, guys. Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. You're at the governor's mansion today?
I am at the office in the Sillars building today, so I've been working since we started early this morning. Obviously, this is an important issue for us. I've been, again, reviewing our appellate's brief that has been prepared by some of the nation's, I think, best constitutional lawyers, some at the Alliance Defending Freedom, and we are optimistic and hopeful that the appeals court we'll look at our arguments and certainly find that this law is, in essence, no different from the conscientious objections law to warfare, to abortions, capital punishments, and things such as physician-assisted suicide. It is based on the same principles that have been in play in the Constitution since its very beginning to protect those that have religious freedoms and deeply held religious views. That's simply all the state of Mississippi is trying to do, is allow Christians and people of faith, of all faiths, to exercise their conscientious beliefs without interference from the government. And you see the challenges that we have had time and time again, but
Governor,
will continue this fight.
Why do you think this is the secular left in this country just came out and pounced on you and pounced on the state of Mississippi over this? What is so, I mean, what you just described, what are they claiming there's something to be worried
about?
This
is just the first step, Tim. If they can... if they can crush us, then they realize that many elected officials will say, stay away from that. They will bring the media to bear, the secular society. It will be extensive court battles. This court battle is being brought by, of course, the Southern Campaign for Southern Equality, the lead attorney, Roberta Kaplan, in New York. So not necessarily people who are involved here in Mississippi, but this is the first step. Right. Judge Scalia said it, arguments by attorneys in the U.S. government in the case before the Supreme Court. Obergefell said, yes, this may lead to a challenge of tax exemptions of religious institutions.
Now,
so this is just the beginning.
Talking to Governor Phil Bryan of Mississippi, we've got a couple minutes left. He's got to run to another meeting, but he announced yesterday the challenge, the law, the religious freedom law was passed in Mississippi. It was struck down by a federal judge in Jackson, and then and now the governor has decided to challenge challenge in federal court. Was this going to be the Fifth Circuit Court?
Fifth Circuit Court.
Okay, so you've decided, and our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom organization is going to do the legal work. Now, I don't know how much you want to comment on it, but the Mississippi Attorney General, who is a Democrat, Jim Hood, declined to defend this law.
Well, it was just disappointing. I mean, obviously, not only does this lawsuit involve the governor, but also an employee at the State Department of Vital Records, some wonderful lady, I'm sure, who's out doing her job at the State Department of Vital Records, and she gets sued and brought into this lawsuit because she would simply file those records of marriage. She would also receive the notice of any clerk that would say, I have deeply held religious views and will not participate in a same-sex marriage, and they would have to notify Mrs. Mulder at the Register of Vital Records. So the Attorney General said, I'm not going to defend you or John Davis, the Department of Human Services, nor the governor of the state of Mississippi, and forcing us to go and find attorneys who are not charging the state of Mississippi to take this battle, which we believe is a constitutional issue. Judge Scalia, even when the Supreme Court ruled on same-sex marriage, Judge Scalia, which I think one of the brightest legal minds of our time, said a system of government that makes the people subordinate to a committee of 9 unelected judges does not deserve to call itself a democracy. So this is just not Phil Bryant that has this opinion. Judge Scalia, some 46 states have conscientious objection clauses in their laws. Again, if you look at physicians at the Baptist and St. Dominic's Hospital, the federal government doesn't force them to perform abortions.
Right.
If you work for the Department of Corrections and you believe capital punishment is against your deeply held religious views, you can be relieved of your responsibilities at that time if an execution is taking place. You do not have to go to war. Muhammad Ali is probably one that people know most, was a conscientious objector because of his Muslim beliefs. So we believe we're on firm legal ground, and we have very good attorneys involved in this, including the Office of the Governor's Attorney. And so we will move forward with this appeal. And
Governor Bryant,
justice prevails.
Thank you for being on with us. I know you got another meeting to get to. God bless you, and appreciate your efforts here, and keep standing firm.
Thank you, guys. God bless y'all. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Okay, that's Governor Phil Bryant joining us from Jackson, Mississippi. He's the governor of the Magnolia State. Ed?
Yeah, I mean, and that is a great argument as we were listening to him. I mean, homosexuality seems to be, I guess, because it's the kind of the crowbar by which secular progressives are trying to dismantle religious liberty in this country. Seems to be the one issue where you can't disagree. If you disagree, you know, we've been talking about this. If you're Kelvin Cochran, the Atlanta fire chief, and you disagree, you're fired. If you're Dr. Eric Walsh, who was working for the Georgia Department of Health, you disagree, you're fired. If you
it's bow the knee to the homosexual
absolutely
movement and agenda. Are they going to come down on you?
I mean, as Governor Bryant pointed out, we do have conscientious objection protections for other issues, you know, like capital punishment, like abortion. And everyone seems to say, I get that. That's okay.
And that's what this religious freedom law in Mississippi did, is protect especially small Christian business owners, for example, from having to do gay weddings. If they don't do them, then they're put out of business. It allows for that kind of objection, conscientious objection, if you will. And, you know, what's interesting, we'll bring in Fred. Fred, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be with you,
Fred,
guys.
Fred Jackson, onenewsnow.com, AFR News. Wanted to mention this. You have remember Kim Davis?
Right, in Kentucky.
In Kentucky. She was the county clerk who said, I cannot, my Christian faith won't allow me to give a marriage certificate.
Put
my signature on.
Put my signature on a marriage license for two men.
You're right.
Just can't do that. Now, somebody else in my office can, or you can drive down the street, drive down to the next county or whatever, but I just can't do it. Well, she was just, man, the secular left just came down on her. Do your job. Do your job or get out of there. Remember that?
Right.
She's put in jail.
Right. That's right. Walker Wildman, yeah. By the way. She was put in jail. So tell me, Ed, what's the difference between what Kim Davis did and then you have the Attorney General of the state of Mississippi who's supposed to defend the law that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. And this happened in California, too, by the way, after Prop 8. The governor and the Attorney General in California said, we're not going to defend the law passed by...
When another federal judge, judge, who was himself a homosexual, struck down Proposition 8 that was passed in 2008, 7 million Californians...
Disenfranchised.
...voted for the definition of marriage between one man and one woman. One federal judge said, uh-uh, not going to happen. And like you said, in that state, both the governor and the attorney general said, well, we're not going to appeal it.
No, we're not. Yeah, we're not going to. So you had nobody to defend the law. So in the case of Mississippi, the governor signs a law passed by the legislature, and then the attorney general, Jim Hood, who's a Democrat, he says, I'm not going to defend the law in court. So I'm just asking what Kim Davis did in Kentucky. You know, the left says, do your job. Well, here, a law passed in the state of Mississippi, the attorney general says, I'm not going to defend it in court. Where are these same people saying, attorney general, do your job? Anyway, but that's really not the point. The point is we're proud of the governor and the state legislative leaders for passing this law. Tate Reeves in the Senate, he leads the Senate, and Philip Gunn leads the House. He's the Speaker of the House. These three gentlemen and led the way on this, and they're standing firm. So that'll be challenged in court, appealed in court in New Orleans at the Fifth Circuit, Federal Circuit of Appellate Court. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, what do you think about this?
Well, I was just saying, I'm so glad the governor gave those examples of where society already accepts conscientious objection to something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was not aware that if you work for the Department of Corrections and you're opposed to capital punishment, you don't have to participate in putting in
prison. I didn't know that either.
That was news to me. But that's brought in there because... somebody thought that's an unreasonable objection to that. Also, the hospitals do not have to do abortions because they disagree with abortions. Society, at least here in Mississippi, has accepted that. So I'm so glad he mentioned all those. If you don't want to go to war, you know.
Right.
They're saying the governor's saying allow the same principle to apply to people who have a religious conscientious objection to participating in a homosexual, quote, wedding.
Yeah, and the media has been very disingenuous. That's a nice way of saying they lie about this Mississippi law. To my point, the Associated Press story I have in front of me.
You know, this Mississippi law keeps homosexuals out from any restaurant.
That's what they say.
They can
that's
be run out say. Of. No, what you have a right to do, you have a right to, if you're a business owner, a restaurant owner, you can ask people, are they gay, when they come into your restaurant, and if they are, you can tell them, get out of here. Mm. That's what this law does, right, Ed?
Well, this is what this article says, and this has been the story about Mississippi, about the measure, 1523, all along, and this Associated Press says that the law would have protected merchants who refuse services to LGBT people.
Happens every day.
That is a lie.
Okay.
That is not what the law says.
Okay.
What the law applies to is individuals who don't want to participate in a same-sex wedding because there's a message. You are capturing someone who makes a cake or who does flowers, and you're saying, we want you to approve of our wedding by your actions. 1523 does not tell the restaurant owner, Tim. I know that was tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Does not tell the restaurant owner that, hey, you're fully okay when customers come in, as if this has happened anywhere in Mississippi.
In the history of the world.
Hey, you there, you two fellers, what's your sexual orientation?
Right,
if you're gay, you can just turn around and get out of our McDonald's.
Before I get you your meat and three veggies, I got to know if you're gay or not. If you are, you can get on out of here. That's what the media and these LGBT groups want you to think is going on. Walker?
This is all hyped up, and I hope people know that you were being sarcastic about that, because I can just see right-wing watch right now. Tim Wildman admits that 1523 allows sexual discrimination.
That's so silly.
But anyways, the Attorney General, look, if he can't defend the bill in good conscience, which is
his
I
job,
could see that.
His job.
Yeah, but I could see him saying, I can't defend this bill in good conscience. He needs to allow someone else in his office or hire someone else to defend it for
him.
Which
is what Kim Davis wanted to do.
Right.
Someone else in my office can do it.
Exactly. It wasn't that she said, nobody in my office will sign
a marriage license. Point.
So if the Attorney General of the state of Mississippi, for example, Jim Hood, has a objection to defending the law, he should allow somebody else in his office to do it.
Right. Without punishment.
Right. Well, I don't think his when I was reading what his objection to defend the law was that his kids were opposed to the law. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, no, I know.
That's
he
what he said
that.
In the paper, in the newspaper. He said that his children were opposed to the law. The younger people, they're not supportive of it. So he's going to go with them over the state legislature.
Constitutional responsibility.
But anyway, we'll see what happens there with this law. Good for the governor of the state of Mississippi for defending it in appellate court, and thanks to the Alliance Defending Freedom for doing it pro bono. They're a group out of Arizona that we're very familiar with. They do great work. Fred, what else is in the news, my friend?
I was just going to say, that's a scary thought that the Attorney General takes advice from his kids. What do the kids say?
Well, that's what
Dad, I'm upset with the price of hamburgers.
Well,
you know, why don't
I'm just
you do
telling you what,
that, Dad?
I'm not kidding. That's what he said in the paper. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Great discussion, though.
Yeah.
And praise to the governor for taking the stand that he's doing. Hey, listen, the Democrats are not having a good few days. The headlines, we're talking about the secular media headlines these days, are not good for the Democrats. After we got off the show here yesterday, there was a breaking news story and this is a surprise, CNN issued a statement with regards to Donna Brazile, who used to be a commentator on CNN. She is now and still the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. They issued a statement yesterday saying it is completely uncomfortable. The network says, we're completely uncomfortable to learn through WikiLeaks that former commentator Donna Brazile had contacted the Clinton campaign ahead of time about a question that would be posed during a presidential primary town hall last March in Flint, Michigan. 2 weeks ago, Donna Brazile, I'm resigning from CNN, all right? 2 weeks ago, not a mention. What happens is, going through these emails, John Podesta emails that's been in the news lately, they find an email from Donna Brazile to John Podesta saying, you know, in this upcoming debate with Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton might want to know that there's going to be a question about the water problems in Flint, Michigan. And there's going to be a woman, apparently, in the crowd that they're going to allow to come up and say how horrible it was, et cetera, et cetera. And then apparently this happened a second time as well. And you remember when this story first broke, there were denials everywhere. There was this controversial interview between Megyn Kelly and Fox News.
I saw that. Donna Brazile.
I mean, she
was bizarre.
It was bizarre, is right. She was got all self-righteous. You know, who do you think you are asking me this kind of question that I would do such a thing? Well, now it turns out, thanks to these WikiLeaks emails, it was true.
Yeah. So what you got going on here, just for those who haven't been following this as closely as we have, you have a woman. Her name is Donna Brazile. She worked at CNN.
As a
commentator for the Democratic side of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. While she was there, it's now learned she was fed questions. She tipped off Hillary Clinton's campaign as to what questions at least she said
some of the questions.
Some of the questions that she would be asked at a debate against Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
And so you see how this works, folks. And so Hillary Clinton could be prepared for the question that Bernie Sanders would not necessarily be prepared for. Now, he may have answered it well, but he wouldn't be tipped off.
Yep.
Now, this went on multiple times, according to these emails.
At least two times this happened.
So now CNN has said they're, quote, uncomfortable.
Completely uncomfortable.
Man. No, they should say this is disgusting. We're going to get to the bottom of it, and whoever gave her the questions are going to be fired. Mm-hmm. This is more than uncomfortable. This just goes to what we talked about before here. The people, the one good thing about this, I say good with quotations around it, about this campaign season, including Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders, because they wanted to get rid of Bernie Sanders. The liberal media did. The liberal mainstream media is just hardly any pretense anymore. And these emails that have been dug up here only prove what we thought was true in the first place.
And what we thought was going on all along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We knew what was going on, but maybe you couldn't necessarily prove it.
Well, if I was Bernie Sanders, I would be most upset. Because remember, go back to the initial debate before Donna Brazile became the DNC chairman.
Right.
It was Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Right.
Right.
She lost her job.
Yeah, right, because she
was in bed with the Hillary Clinton camp, and Bernie Sanders was reelected.
Undermining Bernie Sanders, Wasserman Schultz lost her position as head of the DNC, replaced by Donna Brazile as interim
head. And Wasserman Schultz got hired by the Clinton campaign shortly afterwards. She wasn't out of a job for 30 seconds.
Maybe Brazile wants to lose her job so she can go on with the Clinton campaign.
Well, she's already there.
Yeah.
But CNN has lost something here, too.
Oh, yes.
CNN is losing credibility when someone like this does something like that. And obviously, there's collusion between at least somebody at CNN.
But has Brazile stepped down as the interim chair
for
the DNC?
Oh,
see,
no.
You imagine...
Oh, no. She did. I think she did in July when she went to...
She's become
a contributor, right?
Well, she stepped down from CNN, her position at CNN.
But she's still head of the DNC.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, you're right.
She's still head of the DNC.
So imagine Rince Priebus colluding with Fox on debate questions to give to Trump.
Yes.
Or any of the other
candidates. And then Fox saying, we're uncomfortable with this.
Right, but him staying as the
Fox
RNC
chair. Fox
would
say this is outrageous.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this is like stepping off the curb to cross the street and getting run over by a car on your foot. Mm-hmm. And saying, I am completely uncomfortable with this. No, this is more than uncomfortable.
You know what? You got this the way that words have been mangled in our English language.
That was a lawyer. A lawyer at CNN designed.
But I'm just amazed by the way the word mistake is used to cover.
Or how about this one? I misspoke.
But mistake is used to cover an axe murderer now says, I made a mistake.
Yes,
when talks about what
Thank
he did.
Thank you for confirming the obvious.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, my parents asked me. I thought you said you went to your friend's house last night, and now we found out you were in Boston at a concert. Well, perhaps I misspoke. My parents aren't going to buy that. You didn't misspeak, fella. You lied.
I was watching an interview the other day with Tiger Woods, and he had 20. I don't know how many women did he have in his.
Looking at me. I don't
know. Well, it was.
Well, it was more than his wife.
Okay,
he wasn't limiting himself to his wife.
No, it was a lot of women that he was running around with over the years he was married to his wife, and it was a tragic situation. I'm not making light of it in any way. He had two children involved, but he was doing an interview with, I think, with Charlie Rose, and he said it was a mistake. And I was going, a mistake? A mistake is when you take a wrong turn at the red light.
Gee, I missed the turn.
A mistake is when you overcook your hamburger.
Yeah.
Okay, that's when you ruin your life. It's not a mistake. It's a sin. Yeah. It's grievous. It's terrible. It's tragedy. Mm-hmm. And what we've done in our culture, in our society, I'm not just picking on Tiger Woods here, is now you can put a server in the basement of your home and put national security secrets at risk. You get caught and you say, I probably shouldn't have done that. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Hi. American Family Radio presents Pray and Vote.
In Jesus' name.
If we as God's people will humble ourselves and pray, He will hear our prayers and heal our land. Today, just a week before Election Day, Tim Wildman, Franklin Graham, and others will pray for the elections and for our nation. God is our one true hope. Listen to American Family Radio today, beginning at 5 p.m. Central, for Pray and Vote.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. It's the worst-kept secret in Washington. The mainstream media is in the tank for Hillary Clinton, and this election cycle, journalists aren't even pretending to be fair and balanced. That's why Donald Trump supporters are so angry. They see the media bias, the outright lies, the distortions. We talk about this very issue in my latest podcast on ToddStarnes.com. Now, the most egregious offender is CNN. Yesterday, they were forced to sever ties with Democratic strategist Donna Brazile. WikiLeaks emails revealed Ms. Brazile had shared questions for CNN-sponsored campaign events with the Clinton campaign. Hillary got debate questions in advance. The fix was in. It's outrageous. The Republican Party, and quite frankly, the Democrats, would be foolish to ever participate in anything CNN's hosting. It turns out CNN really is the Clinton News Network. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And we're back. Ed Vitagliano, Tim Wildman in studio, Walker Wildman. We're going to have in just a few moments Sandy Rios, AFA Director of Governmental Affairs, is going to be joining us. Fred, before we let you go, I think we let you go before the break. Now we're going to hold you over for just a couple of minutes. This is a fascinating story that you've got. Tell our listeners about some of the latest that's gone on.
Well, I started a few moments ago by saying the Democrats are having a bad few days. Well, here's a story from the New York Times just to add to this. The headline in the New York Times: investigating Donald Trump, FBI sees no clear link to Russia. Now, you know, the talking points for the Democratic Party, for Hillary Clinton, has been the Russians are trying to influence our election. And by golly, Donald Trump is a good friend. He's always praising Vladimir Putin.
That was one of her arguments in the last debate.
In the last debate. Well, the FBI has been investigating all of this, and guess what? They have found absolutely no connection between the Russians and Donald Trump. Nothing at all. This is a story in the New York Times, of all places.
How about with the WikiLeaks? Now, that's been one of their arguments, that the Russians are the ones that hacked John Podesta's emails, for example, in Democratic Party. Have they found any?
No clear decision on that yet. But as far as Donald Trump having something to do with all of this, nothing. No proof at all.
That's been one of Hillary's arguments, and at least of the last two debates, presidential debates, was that she might have raised it in the first.
No, she almost just said that the Russians want Trump to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that
with no evidence,
and that he's good friends with Vladimir Putin.
They've been making that point. It's not only Hillary Clinton saying that, but all her. John Podesta's been saying that. All these Democrats that have been appearing.
These are the same people who say there's no evidence that the Democrats, that we did anything wrong with the emails that came out. So Yeah. All right. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
OneNewsNow.com, OneNewsNow.com, OneNewsNow.com is the website to check out all the news Fred just mentioned. Also, Walker Wildman is updating our Facebook page for today's issues, so any story that you hear us discuss here, he's posting there as well at the website. Is that you still doing your job over there?
Doing my job. I was trying to connect Sandy Rios. She's missing in action right now, so
she is.
Have to hold off on her.
Okay, Sandy, we hope to have Sandy Rios on momentarily. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. While we've got time, let me mention that our tour to Israel, our tour of Israel coming up in March, is filling up. And so if you want to go with us to the Holy Land, we would love to have you. You can check out all the information at this website, twholyland.com. We're leaving March 9, getting back March 17th. So not going too long. And so if you want information on our tour of the Holy Land, we'll Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, Bethlehem, Nazareth, the Valley of Armageddon, Mount Carmel. I mean, I could go on and on. The Garden of Gethsemane, all these places that we're going to be seeing. On our tour of Israel, the Bible comes to life, and as I say, we probably got about 20 seats left on this tour. So if you want more information, go to the website, twholyland.com, or you can order a brochure, and it come to your mailbox, and you can get it out, walk inside your house, put it on your kitchen table, open it up, and read it, and hold it in your hands.
There you go.
A lot of people like to do it that way. So if you want it sent to your mailbox, we can do that. Just call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. Leave us your name and your address. Yes, yes.
Well,
Ed.
I just wanted to let our listeners know that tonight we have a Pray and Vote special presented by AFA Action. That'll be tonight. Starting at 5 Central Time.
Is that night or is that afternoon?
You know, it's, I don't know if it's late afternoon or evening. It's
I think it's late afternoon.
All right, 5 to 6 Central Time. That is, we are 1 week away from the election. Tim, you and I and will be hosting it. And we've got a number of guests who will be on with us, Franklin Graham, Dr. James Dobson, several others. We'll have Rob Chambers.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah. Well, we're doing this because we're 1 week before the election, and so we're going to be talking about the importance of elections and participations, and especially this election, which will occur in 1 week, and we are calling people to pray. In fact, we are asking people to commit to pray and fast next Monday, the day before the election, for our country. And so it'll be a time of prayer for the election and for our nation and a discussion of the upcoming election. You can listen to the Pray and Vote special on American Family Radio and across all our radio platforms, including Urban Family, or you can watch it online. We'll be streaming it, video streaming it. You can watch it at afaaction.net. Again, that's from 5 to 6 p.m. tonight, Central Time.
We're talking, Walker, what do you know? Have you been tracking any of the polls today?
Yes. The ABC Washington Post poll, which yesterday we mentioned Trump was within one, so Clinton was up one in that poll. Today we have, let me get the numbers here. With the ABC Washington Post poll, which is tracking, it's a daily poll, it's tracking the election, Trump is up one.
That's a national poll.
Correct. That's a general election national poll.
Still, that's kind of stunning.
Well, stunning considering Hillary Clinton a week ago was up 12 in that poll, the same poll.
That's right.
That's that.
11 points vanished in 1 week.
It's almost unheard of. That's even more more of a separation from the Reagan-Carter race, which was a 9-point comeback.
Yeah, a lot of people don't remember that, especially if you weren't alive at the time. But
right.
What happened was Jimmy Carter was beating Ronald Reagan by, what, 8, 10 points with a week to go? Is that right?
I think that's correct. And I in fact, was watching a program about that, and they were saying that Jimmy Carter, some of his staff were saying, don't have the final debate a week before the election. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Carter's the incumbent. You automatically have a pretty good advantage if you're the incumbent. Now, rough economic times under Carter, but still. And they were advising President Carter not to have the last debate a week before the election. Mm-hmm. And he did. And Reagan performed so well and showed himself not to be unhinged, which is the way the Democrats were portraying him, that Carter's lead collapsed. And I think by that time it was down to about a 6-point. It was, the race had started to tighten. But
Reagan wiped him out.
Yes.
I think he won every state.
I don't think against Carter he did. But
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, it was the Dukakis thing.
Yeah.
In the general election polls that were released today, which a lot of these factor in the FBI announcement on Friday, nearly every general election poll released today has the race within 1 point. You have the IBD, International Business Daily, tracking poll.
That sounds like a missile.
Well, it may be.
It sounds like a missile you're getting ready to launch. That what is it called? The
it
what?
International Business Daily.
Oh, IBD. You said yeah. IBD. Okay, that makes
sense. Yeah, it has Clinton up
as
one.
As opposed to ICBM.
Oh, that's what I was thinking about.
Then you have the LA Times USC tracking poll, Trump up four in the general election. And then, of course, you have the ABC Washington poll we just talked about that has Trump up one. So a very close race.
Make no mistake about it. I mean, the polls, the news for Trump has been trending positive over the last few days. I think he's benefiting from yet another announced scandal, you know,
right,
involving the Clintons. I don't know, at some point people probably just tune it out and say, well, they're scandalous, so... But what else is? Yeah. I don't need another one reported to know what I know already about.
Yeah, how much worse can your opinion get?
That's what I'm saying.
With another scandal.
Right. It's like somebody who has 10 affairs and the 11th one, you go, I just can't believe they would have 11.
Right.
11 affairs.
To 10.
Huh?
By the way, I do
want to
say,
10 wasn't good enough.
I do want to tip the hat to you, Tim. In 1980. Jimmy Carter only won Minnesota, Georgia, West Virginia, looks like Maryland, and the District of Columbia. So it was the map is
wipeout.
Really red.
Right.
In 1980.
And I want to go back to this FBI director James Comey's decision on Friday just for 1 minute, because it came to my mind this morning as I was watching Fox and Friends. They had on Trey Gowdy to talk about what he thought of FBI director's announcement. Some even Republicans thought Comey shouldn't have announced that because of the election. They thought he should have kept it under wraps. But what Trey Gowdy said, and he said it very well, is FBI director James Comey didn't come out publicly and hold a press conference calling out Hillary Clinton and the reopening of the investigation. James Comey sent a letter to Congress, to a committee in Congress, which consists of about 9 Republicans and Democrats, letting them know, which was his duty to let them know, because he had just got done telling them in July that there's nothing here, this is over with.
And there's no new information.
No new information. It's his duty. He had to let them know, that committee know, that there was still something here. Because if he wouldn't have let them know that, he himself, James Comey, would have been in deep waters if they would have found out that he kept that from them.
So who released it? How did it become a media story? Do you know?
I think it may have been Chaffetz.
Okay.
He's the chair of that committee. He may have released it, or someone in that committee released it. But anyways, Trey Gowdy's point was that James Comey, this isn't James Comey's fault. This is Hillary Clinton's fault and Anthony Weiner's fault. It's not, we shouldn't put it on James Comey that her emails somehow end up on Anthony Weiner's computer. And somehow he gets in trouble with a sexting scandal.
The FBI director, whatever you think of his decision in July, I guess it was, to not recommend a federal grand jury be indicted after he made the great case for a federal grand jury to be indicted, he said, I just can't prove that she meant to do this. I thought that was pretty weak on the part of the FBI director. But whatever you think about that, his what happened, he had no choice to let the to basically make it known that the FBI was, quote, not quote, but they were reopening. They had come across new information relative to the case that may change the way the FBI views this. That's basically what he was saying, and the world knows now it involves former Democrat Congressman Anthony Weiner, mm-hmm. in right. New York, who was the now the estranged, I guess, husband of or separated of Huma Abedin, who was the
well, Clinton. She's a close advisor of
maybe the Secretary closest, Clinton. Probably
I think
the closest
she's vice president of her yeah. election campaign.
So again, this is a novel that I don't. That John Grisham,
right,
probably juicier than if yeah. you want to use that term,
and yeah. perhaps you know even too unbelievable for a novel.
No,
you
no. Look,
we talked about you know you, as you mentioned, this is Hillary Clinton's fault and Anthony Weiner's fault. Huma Abedin is under tremendous pressure because she told she was being interviewed from during a Judicial Watch deposition. And also told the FBI, asked about what devices she had used to send or receive messages from Hillary Clinton using the ClintonEmail.com server. And she said,
that's the bathroom server?
Yeah, that's the bathroom server. So she told the FBI in April that after she left the State Department in 2013, which is when Hillary Clinton stepped down as Secretary of State, that she lost most of her old emails. And so, you know, if you say, well, I looked for all the devices that might have had any of my State Department work on it, and you don't mention the laptop that you share with your then husband, her husband being Anthony Weiner at the time, she could be in hot water. Because, you know, as I'm looking at an Associated Press story, there's only three options here for Huma Abedin. She either didn't know about the emails on Weiner's computer, okay, and why would he have her emails on his computer, 650,000 of them.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe
that
either.
That's not believable.
Or she might have forgotten about them.
Don't believe that either.
Or for some other reason did not turn them over, and I think that...
What about if you're wanting to hide them?
That is the question. You know, I was looking at some comments underneath one of these stories, and there in there, a guy was... he says he was an IT guy, and he said, listen, 650,000 emails, he said, according to my calculations, would take 50 gigabytes of memory. Mm-hmm. That's... I'm not sure... You know, how many laptops can just hold? I mean, some can. You right. do have, you know, some pretty large, but that's a lot. How does that go unnoticed on your computer?
Well, one scenario here is you have Anthony Weiner's got his own email account, which is probably backed up with Google or whatever service he uses. So not necessarily all 650,000 emails have to be physically on the computer. A lot of them can be backed up on the server. And then
was that where they found them, though?
Possibly. But they probably found several thousand actually physically in the laptop.
Okay.
And then you go beyond that to wherever the host server is, Google or whatever, and you look in their server, then you got hundreds of thousands more.
What you got here is this is news reports that we're citing, which these what we've just been talking about would be considered, quote, I guess speculation because it's not been confirmed. Or denied by the FBI, but this is what the whole world is reporting, what we've just described the last few minutes. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and what you could have here is you could have, if in fact, let's just suppose, Ed, that the top aide for Hillary Clinton lied to the FBI.
Right.
And now she's in trouble, okay, potentially going to jail. Okay, now this, we don't know this to be the whole, as it,
right.
But this is what it appears to be. There's something wrong. That's why Jim Comey, the director of FBI, told the House committee, well, just a minute, you know, we got some other information here. So if in fact she misled or did not tell the FBI, under subpoena, right? Under oath.
Well, when you're being questioned by the FBI, you have to tell the truth. You cannot lie to. You can't lie to the. If you're being questioned,
you're under oath.
Yes. Well, I guess I don't know whether I don't know if it's. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
I don't know how formal that. If you swear or whatever, but you're not. If you lie to the FBI, you can be prosecuted for that. I guess it would be called perjury.
Right. Perjury, or something of that. So that's the reason that she's. You know, if you find out that you got 615,000 emails, they can't 50, all
650,000.
650,000. That's going to take probably 3 years to go through.
Well, I did. Was it?
How would you like to be the FBI agent assigned to that one? Hey, Johnson, Taylor,
you're helping
Reynolds,
me.
Come over here.
Here's 50,000. I want them done by lunch.
I want you to go through. I'm going to divvy up 50,000 a day here. So don't plan on a Christmas break for your. Holiday break.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
Okay. Can you imagine those guys having to sift through all those? Now, they do have a way of breaking them down, I guess, on the to determine what emails are related potentially. I guess they're trying to find out, are there top secret emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop
right.
that he's not supposed to have? If there Classified. Are, how did they get there?
Yeah.
And who's
and why wasn't that laptop turned over to the FBI when Huma Abedin was asked for it?
Yeah.
And I got to say one other thing, too, about Huma Abedin. You know, my understanding, talking to Fred Jackson this morning, he said, look, the Clinton campaign is just calling her a staffer right now. Yeah, if you've been bumped down from the vice president in charge of the Clinton campaign and you are a close consultant for Hillary Clinton throughout her political career for the last, 10 years, and now you're just a staffer, you say, are they going to try to throw her under the bus and say, well, we don't know what she was talking about, why she withheld it? Then Huma Abedin probably knows where some of the bodies are buried. I mean, do you throw her under the bus and then she – you see how,
I think what they're hoping
nasty
for,
this could get?
What they're probably hoping for is that Hillary Clinton wins a week from today.
Right.
And all this goes away.
And Huma comes back in from the cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this all goes away because then the president-elect will get to decide who the players are that surround her, who the AG will be. It'll all go away.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be any, quote, constitutional crisis because I think the FBI and the people who are responsible for bringing justice – will be told, stand down, or get out of here, or you'll be fired when I get sworn in.
And with an election over,
right?
You're not. There's no
then,
pressure.
Then the people would have already. Then the American people would have said, we don't care,
right,
about this enough to not vote her in,
right?
I guess it'll all be decided one way or the other, probably next Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Sandy Rios. Joining us now from Sandy Rios in the Mornings on American Family Radio. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Sandy, you heard what we were talking about right there. What do you think about what we were just discussing?
Well, whether there be a constitutional crisis, that's the part I heard.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's what I said. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree that if Hillary Clinton is elected, they'll kill it. I'm with you because you know what? There will be more and more chaos and less law and order. I mean, we will see things move in such a chaotic direction. I don't know why anyone would think anything else than that. But of course, if Donald Trump is elected, there'll be a new sheriff in town, and it's going to be very different. You know, I heard Josh Ernst say last week that. It was funny because you hear people saying they're going to move out of the country if Donald Trump is elected. And it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, or maybe some of them are half-serious and wish they could. But this was different. He said that President Obama is working hard to make sure that no one has to leave the country. And he wasn't laughing. It wasn't a joke. And, you know, I'm thinking seriously, is the new Justice Department director comes in, and an FBI director. If the agencies are changed, there will be justice for a lot of these criminals who have been found their place in an Obama administration. And I wouldn't doubt we'll see some of them, many of them leaving the country to escape that punishment.
What do you think about? It's hard to discern exactly what President Obama's role here is or what his motives are. Is he with Hillary Clinton or opposed to her?
That's a good question. You know, I address that this morning on the show because I have to say I can't explain this, but I can speculate that certainly when Josh Earnest yesterday came out in support of Director Comey, that was off script. From the Clinton staffers and the Clinton campaign. No question, they were diametrically opposed to each other. The only thing I can figure, Tim, is that remember that Barack Obama is as guilty as Hillary Clinton in terms of the illegality of how he's handled classified information. He used a fake name to engage with her on her illegal server. But we don't know what those, many people initially thought that maybe that's why Comey was not opening this up for. He did not want to open the investigation for Hillary Clinton wider because we had a president that was guilty. So it could be that maybe the president felt he needs to curry favor with Director Comey in case Director Comey is, something has come his way that might be to the president's detriment and maybe legal detriment. I just don't know. That's the only thing I can think of that would possibly explain.
Yeah.
The other thing is I think maybe Obama knows some of the stuff that's in that secret stash, the stuff that's been uncovered. Perhaps he knows, and he knows that she's just in trouble, in big trouble, and he's trying to distance himself. That's the only two things I can get.
Well, you know what, Sandy, along those lines, I found it amazing. This is about a year ago or so. I was watching an interview with the president, and he was being asked, I think it was 60 Minutes, he was being asked to comment on the FBI investigation at the time.
When it was real new.
Yeah, it was real new, and they were asking, okay, it's been discovered that Hillary Clinton had her own private email server in her bathroom doing State Department or the country's business on it and potentially, putting at risk a lot of top secret information. And President Obama said, oh, there's nothing there. You know, she didn't risk any national security secrets. And I was going, are you doing the investigation? Are you the FBI? How do you know this? How have you already predetermined that she's done nothing wrong? That made me wonder, he's already predetermined the outcome,
right?
Whether she's done anything or wrong or not, he's already decided she certainly won't be held accountable for it.
Right.
And I thought that is really a strange thing for the chief law enforcement officer of America to go ahead and when he hadn't even looked at the emails,
right?
That James Comey was looking at the time. Anyway, Sandy, thanks so much. We're out of time, and
you're welcome.
Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Okay. All right, Ken. Thank you. Bye, Ed.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do you remember us talking about that?
Yeah. It's clear that he would, he was standing up for Hillary Clinton. It was his Secretary of State, and so, maybe he was just saying, I know her, I don't think, but it's a strange thing to say because you want an impartial investigation. You want the FBI to do its due diligence. And you shouldn't have the president, appearing to put his thumb on the scale, mm-hmm. which is what it sounded like when he said it.
And why would he use an alias to email her?
Because he doesn't want to be recognized.
Really?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to be recognized?
Because it's wrong what they were doing.
There you go.
It was illegal.
Well, I guess we'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.